And I looked around, and we were playing Benton County. And everyone from that school, all of the team players, all of the coaches, and I looked around, and all of the parents from that school stood at attention like this. And I looked around in my community, no one put their hand on their heart. No one. The whole ball team, some of them had caps they had taken off and they held them like this. But the ones that didn't have caps stood like this. And I was thinking, what is going on? You know, when I was in school, we had a class called the American flag. And we learned the rules of the American flag. And in those days, if you burnt the flag, you went to prison. Absolutely. And you weren't even supposed to hang it out if it was raining or snowing outside because it was precious. I don't know about you, but the United States of America is precious to me. We travel all over the world, and we have seen in many countries how socialism, which is trying to come back into our country, come into our country in the first place, has destroyed people's lives. They destroyed the whole country, and they would give anything. Everywhere we go, I don't care if it's Europe or anywhere, they would give anything to live in the United States of America. Isn't that true, Brother Jose? We have people everywhere we go say, can my teenager come and stay with you in the United States for a while? And obviously we've done that with many young people from all over. I love my country. Can we sing our song today? Let's do it. Can you guys all stand up? And there is an American flag back there. And I'll see if I can lead it. I have to start low because it goes kind of high. But if you know it, sing it. You know how many people don't even know it anymore? Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous night. What so proudly we hailed at the twilight. Wait, I did it wrong. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Hallelujah. Yes. 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 I thank God for the United States of America. You know, there is still truth here. You know, there's truth. Even though a lot of that truth has been taken out of our schools. A lot of that truth has been even taken out of the church. And I've been really studying, I've shared this before a little bit, about the armor of God. And the main one I'm working on right now is the belt of truth. And I just want to proclaim today that I am thankful that I am coming here to a church that the truth is being taught. Thank you, Pastor. It means everything to me. Okay? Politically correct is not truth. It's not truth. Saying it's okay to be a homosexual is not truth. To kill babies is not truth. This country was founded on the Word of God. And this country was founded on the freedom of religion for us to serve God freely, and that they can't come in and tell us what to preach from our pulpits. That's what this country was founded on. And they're trying to take that away from us. And thank God we have a president who says no. Amen? Amen. You might not like everything president's doing, but he said no. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I'm thankful I'm thankful. Hallelujah. We're getting ready this August to do youth camp. We've done youth camps for, I was figuring, I think it's 39 years this year. And there's many couples in this church who came to our camp when they were teenagers. Did you come, Jeremy, or were you too little? Your brothers came. Many people from this church came to our camp when we started. And now they're married and they have kids and all that. But anyway, we had someone raise up in our teen camp. We had someone raise up in our junior camp, the 8 to 12-year-olds. And they've been doing a great job. And our 8 to 12-year-old leaders resigned this year. Last year was their last year. And I've had the hardest time getting help for this year. But up until now, I did not have a release to let go of it. We were always over it. And the Lord told me, I'm the one that had to let go because John could have let go sooner. And the Lord really spoke to me and said, this is your last year. And so we have a couple we're training this year. And so they're taking over for next year. And so the Lord spoke to me to speak. I'm going to be the speaker in the evening. And I'm really going to talk to those young people about the lies that they're being taught in the public school. And we're going to hit some things head on. Amen. 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 And this is our last year of hoorah after 39 years. Isn't that something? Hallelujah. But I love the children and I love the teenagers. I told somebody the other day, I'd rather be in a room full of teenagers than a room full of adults any day and talk to them. I love teenagers. And I meet so many people who just hate when they're teenagers, when their children are teenagers. They're like, oh, I can't wait till they're not teenagers. Oh, that was my favorite time. Amen. So thank you all for your prayers. And we went to Europe, but since we were up here last time, and man, we had some good meetings. And the churches that the young people are rising up and leading worship are the ones that are alive. It's amazing. These young people are getting up there and worshiping. And it's really funny, though, the churches that are really growing, because see, we get the chance to go to all the different little churches around. And they're complaining about that church. It's like, how can they afford to go to? I said, you need to stop. Stop this. I said, how many people do you have coming to your church? You know, you need to be part of that. You need to lift them up and encourage them, you know? This one church, they bought a new building, and they're packing it out. And it's so exciting because we got to be a part of the beginning of that church many years ago. We ministered to the leaders that became the pastors eventually. And so they're going to dedicate their church in September. I think we're going back to Europe for that. But it's exciting to see all of the young people, especially in Europe. And if you know anything about Europe, you know that they need revival even more than the U.S. does, right? And so it's exciting to see that. And so we love all of you, and we thank you for your support because we couldn't go without you. Amen? Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Ooh. He never stops working. I was just thinking as we were singing that song, he never stops working. You know, all the monies that has been sowed into the mission places where we go, in the Philippines especially, that money never stops working. God is working miracles. Every church that you've helped us build there, every church has had packed out, no empty seats. Fact is, they've had to expand and will have to expand again because they're hungry for the gospel. They're open for the gospel. And so we've sowed seeds and helped build churches all over the world in Argentina. And one of those is complete. The other one's almost complete. Now in France, we're helping two different churches. But in Argentina, this church is just, the Philippines, this church has really, really come through to help build churches there. The Lord loves the people who help his work. That's why he loves all of us tonight, those of us who are here, especially Pastor and his family. The leaders of this church, we honor you and say thank you for allowing us to be here to come and share the gospel. We're also glad to have our very dear friend Jose Maria Garcia, Papa to Walter, and he's here visiting. Praise God. Met him many years ago in Argentina. Hallelujah. We've had a great relationship. Praise God. The Lord spoke to me, and I just want to share, while we were in France, we had an awesome worship service. The Holy Spirit came down in the conference, and the Lord gave me a vision of doves landing on the fields in France, in Belgium. To me, that meant that the Holy Spirit was going to revisit that land. And I believe there's going to be a revival in the land. See, the seed was sown by the apostles throughout those lands. The seed that's been sown in America is lying, a lot of it's lying dormant tonight. But I believe that God's going to send the rain. Hallelujah. There's going to be a revival. Maybe not everywhere, every place, but there's going to be a revival. Hallelujah. It's coming again. He doesn't stop working. Hallelujah. I read a story about World War II when the Germans were, Hitler was trying to take over all of Western Europe. And they went into England and they just cemented 40 acres of fields for an airstrip. Just went in there, poured cement on that. And after I don't know how many years, they broke that cement up, hauled it away. Corn started growing. That seed lay dormant. But when the covering was removed, that seed had life. Tonight, some of you have children and brothers and sisters, and it looks like the seed is lying dormant. But I want you to know that when the Spirit of God touches that seed, there's life that comes out. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter what you see in the natural. We must open our eyes and begin to look spiritually at our situations. And tonight, the flag that we're going to fly is the flag of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We honor you, men and women who served and have served and maybe are serving today. But tonight, we're flying the flag of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We honor that flag tonight. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, someone here come in heavy tonight. And I was trying to think where that scripture was, and I normally know, but it says, lift up the hands that hang low. Lift up the feet. Because when we do that, we take our eyes off of ourselves and we begin to worship. You come in heavy tonight, begin to worship. And tell that devil that you're going to have the victory. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what's happened, what is happening, what you feel like is going to happen. There's going to be a harvest, Brother Richard. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's impossible, but there's going to be a harvest. Because he never stops working. Hallelujah. We went in the Philippines. We went many, many places. One day, Pastor Solomon said, "Like, we're going to go across the mountain to a village. And for a good hour, or maybe hour and a half, we went up this little trail across the mountain, weaving back and forth and big rocks on the road, and we had to go very slow. We came over the hill, and there was a village by the river. And we had a service there. And God moved in that place. And they've been going there with the gospel, I think, almost every week for a while. But there's no church in the village. And they said, we want to build a church in this village. We have to buy the land. We want to build a church in this village. Now, this is different than what Brother Dave testified, a different place than what Brother Dave testified this morning, that this church raised money to build a church in a village way back in the boonies, I call it, in the back 40 for those who are farmers, out in the middle of the rice fields. And the church, we sent money there. That church is going to be built. But we also got enough money that we're starting. We're buying the land and we're starting to build this other church. The village is hungry. The people are hungry. So for the gospel. Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. We're going to Mexico in August. Get to practice our Espanol. Hallelujah. And just for a short period of time, and then my wife says September, plan on going back to Europe, and then November, December to Argentina. So we're excited what God's doing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about God? Hallelujah. You can say hallelujah, glory to God, praise God, clap your hands, shout hallelujah. I've kind of given this message tonight a different title. It's called Taken 1 and 2. I know there's a movie out that was called Taken, and maybe the sequel, I don't remember if there's two movies or not, it doesn't really matter, but this is about the Word of God. Hallelujah. So let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. It talks about Elijah and Elisha. Hallelujah. If we go to verse 9, Elijah is talking to Elisha, and these are the words he said. Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away. Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken away. And Elisha replied, please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit and become your successor. Hallelujah. Well, verse 10, which we don't have up there, but maybe he has it next. I don't know. I know I'm going to 11. But it says, you have asked a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I'm taken from you, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. Verse 11. Then it happened. Suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Hallelujah. The Lord really spoke to me. What do you want me to do for you before I leave? And some of you have requests tonight. Not for me, but what do you want God to do for you before you're gone? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Bring life to it. It always is life, but sometimes we read it, it doesn't speak. Tonight, let it be a rhema word to us, Lord. Speak to us through your word. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to talk about another person in Hebrews 11 and verse 5. And by the way, we know that Elisha received that double portion. Hallelujah. You have to read all of that. Hebrews 11 verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So when I talk about taken, here we see two different men who were translated. They did not die a physical death. God took them directly to heaven. Enoch, because by faith and a testimony of pleasing God, and Elijah, the Holy Spirit revealed to him and his faith. But the thing that was exciting to me was that he even knew the day that he was going to be translated. He was amongst prophets. There was praying. If you got to read that, the last part of chapter 1 of 2 Kings, and you need to read that. It's exciting to see that the Holy Spirit revealed to them the very day. And I believe tonight in our problems or our joys, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we pray with those who cry, and we rejoice with them as well. But tonight, we can expect God to move because we have the Holy Spirit on our lives. I went to see a man at the hospital this afternoon, and the first question he asked me was, am I going to live? I said, I don't know, but I know how you can live forever. Hallelujah. We can live forever in the presence of God. But what do you want God to do for you before you are taken away? Before you die, you have something that God has shown you that He wants to do in your life or through your life, and you haven't seen it come to pass yet. Let's go on. But as Christians and believers of Jesus Christ tonight, there's going to be a taking away also. Ooh. We're told to watch and wait for a day of our going up. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17. It says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, ooh, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be with the Lord, or always be together with the Lord. And the next part of it says, comfort one another with these words. There's going to be a reunion. There's going to be a meeting in the air, in the clouds. The dead are going to rise, and we which are alive are going to catch them together, and we're going to be gone. Hallelujah. We're going to be taken into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And we're always be together with the Lord. This is the last night of the together theme, and I think that the Lord is showing us that His plan is to always be together with Him. When babies are born, they're pure, they're holy, they're blameless before God, and if they die in this time, they go to be with the Lord. Amen? Just as Adam and Eve in the garden before sin, they were pure, there was no shame, there was no guilt. That's the way babies are born. But babies are also born with a sinful nature. And if it's left unchecked after a few years, you see little babies, young boys and girls, they lie, they steal. Sometimes they use language that it is way beyond their age. So if they're left unchecked or uncorrected, the child soon grows up strongly following his or her sinful nature. And they're overtaken. They're overtaken by sin in their life. All the things that goes with it. Satan fills their hearts with lies and deceit. And soon the works of the flesh are seen in these little innocent children, overtaken by a power that destroys. We see it in history. We see it in the Bible, Bible stories. We see it in the nations of the world. In here, in the U.S. of A., even in the church, we see how the enemy moves, and we're seeing deception go unchecked. Out of control. The flow seems to be the normal, and it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. We have to rise up and say it's not okay. Hallelujah. But if we as sinful people continue operating in sin, these little children that I talked about become adults, blinded to God's love. They don't know anything about God's love. Nobody teaches them. Nobody's showing them love. Possessed sometimes by the enemy. These people are becoming leaders in our nations. Are you hearing me? They're becoming leaders in our nations. They are overtaken by sin. They are destroyed by sin. The words of Jesus in Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leads to destruction. The New Living says hell. And there are many who go in by it, verse 14, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. easy way usually isn't God. If we want to fall into the plan of God and live a life of victory, we usually have to fight and strive for that. It doesn't just usually fall into our hands. We have to fight and strive for it. But it may not be easy, but it's always worth it. Somebody said a dead fish can float down the stream, but it takes a live one to swim upstream, to go against the flow. And tonight, I'm praying that God brings life into you, that you will take a stand against evil, that you will say, I'm not putting up with it. We're not going to live by it, but we're going to have victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not dead. He's alive, right? So he's able to do anything that we need. And everything that he does and everything that he has done in the past is to bring us, his creation, back to himself, together with him. Amen? Through Jesus, his Son, together with the Lord forever. That's what his plan was. When sin came up and took over, he immediately planned to bring us back together. His whole, when we see the Bible and read the Bible and how it was prophesied that Jesus would come, we see the restoration of brokenness. Hallelujah. We live in a broken world. Sometimes we live in broken homes and broken lives. But everything that God has done is to bring us back together, make us whole. Hallelujah. To bring us into a presence where he is. Where there's life, an abundant life. Oh, hallelujah. The pastor read part of this morning, but let's read it tonight. I think he quoted it, Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Jesus came out of the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit after being tempted for 40 days. It says that the devil left him for a season, and he went to the temple and opened up the book and began to read these very verses. Jesus came for every part of who we are, body, soul, and spirit. These words were for body, soul, and spirit, for every part of us. And I believe when we understand, people like you and me understand God's love, and we embrace that love through the death and resurrection of Jesus, ask for forgiveness and come in, have the Lord come into our life, and we accept the atonement of Christ. See, the acceptable year of the Lord was a year of jubilee when everybody was set free. But that atonement was made by Jesus once and for all. And if we embrace that atonement, then we find favor. It also means the year of the Lord, that the time of the Lord's favor has come to his people. Hallelujah. See, this is what Jesus said. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, that we would find favor in God's presence, that he would release his favor and his anointing upon us as his people, that regardless of what we've done in the past, we want to bring up the past, do we? Regardless of what's happened in the past, he accepts us as his children. He finds favor with us. I've seen so many people find favor with God. They tell us stories that are unbelievable, how God moves into their life. And all of their life, they've messed up and they've done so many things wrong. And we have a really good friend, Bill and Darlene Davis. They're evangelists from Tampa, Florida. And they're in the area this summer, and the last, I don't know how many summers they've come, and they work out of our home. But he was in prison. He did armed robbery, forged checks. He did everything imaginable. They put him in prison. He got out. But he found favor with the Lord. He was even in a cell across from Charles Manson. The corner of his cell was against Charles Manson. He saw a lot of things that Charles Manson did. Charles Manson tried to put a curse on three of the guards. One of them died, one of them was killed in a car accident. And the third one was a Christian, never bothered him, never touched him. He's alive, victorious. But there was somebody praying for him all the time. Name him Arthur Blessed. Kept visiting him when he was in the crack house and when he was in prison and real strange places. Arthur Blessed would show up. He said, I'm praying for you. God's got a call on your life. For the last 40 years, I've been preaching the gospel. Hallelujah. Seeing lives changed. With this testimony, he goes into colleges, Minnesota and South Dakota, and gives an altar call. 60 students will give their hearts to the Lord, or 100 will give their hearts to the Lord from his testimony, because God redeemed him. He found favor with him. Tonight, I believe that God is showering his favor upon us tonight. Hallelujah. Well, the year of the Lord's favor is here upon us tonight. Hallelujah. We would be successful in everything as Christians that we know God has called us to do. Sometimes we do things on our own and we're not successful. But if God says, I want you to do this, and you move out in that, even though, like Abraham, never been to that city, never been to that land, but God said, go to that land, and I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you a blessing. Hallelujah. And he obeyed God, and God did exactly that. But there's a freedom that God, Holy Spirit, gives us. 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? But we are brought back into a relationship with God because of the obedience of the Son. We're brought back into relationship with God when we say, Lord, I'm sorry, please forgive me. We're brought back into a relationship with God when we get on our knees and when we pray and we talk to the Lord. Together with him forever. This was the plan of God, to bring us back into a relationship with him forever. And as a member of the great family of God, it's a nice group here tonight, but the family of God, the members go a long ways, brother. The family of God goes way beyond what we can see. And so we here tonight, as members of the great family of God, are brought together into his kingdom. And we're together forever with the Lord. Amen? No longer overtaken by the devil. So we need to stay free. To stay free, we need help. Can't do it on your own. Stay free, we need help. First of all, we need to pray. We need humility, bow before the Lord as we did tonight. We need to be humble. We need to do a lot of self-denial. It goes on and on. Just because you prayed the prayer doesn't make you a saint. Just because you prayed the prayer doesn't make you a saint, but it does connect you with the kingdom of God. But there's areas of our life that are deeply rooted in our sinful nature, and we have to stop doing those things. We have to stop that sin, stop practicing anything that's against God, against the Word of God, and stop saying things we used to say and stop acting the way we used to act. You know, if a factory pollutes the water for its waste and it finally realizes it and it stops polluting that river or that water, it doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it takes months and years for that water to become clean. But the water will become clean again. If you stop polluting your life and you put in the good things, and you keep pressing into the presence of God, you become pure. It's called sanctification in God's Word, step by step. But if we follow the desires of our sinful nature, let's go to Galatians 5 and 19. There are areas of our life that are deeply rooted in sin. And this just talks about if you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Pastor talked about it this morning. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. 20. Verse 20. Next. Idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the Word of God. That's truth. Party, we need parties, but not wild parties. I think of the prodigal son when he came home. The dad said, bring the ring and the robe and the sandals and let's kill the fatted calf and let's have a party. Those are the parties we want to be a part of. Those are the parties we want to rejoice in. Hallelujah. But God is wanting us to come back into the image and likeness like He created us. In the beginning it says God created man in His image, man and woman in His image, right? But sin has destroyed that image and it's taken us away from God. But when we repent and come back to Him, we are brought back into the image. We're changed. You have to, you know, continue to read 2 Corinthians 3:17, verse 18. We're being transformed by God's glory and the Spirit of God. There's a transformation that takes place as we draw close to God. We find the freedom in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we have to retake our life. Hallelujah. Retake our life. Sin destroyed us. The enemy takes us away. But when we come to Jesus, He retakes us. He repairs the brokenness. He restores the brokenness. But we really need a lot of help. What kind of life does God want for you? Second question is, what kind of life are you living? What kind of life does He want for you, and what kind of life are you living? When we look at that, maybe we need to rethink or refocus or change what we're doing to come into the place where God can work on our lives and where we can retake the life that God has given us. Hallelujah. See, there's many things that happen in our lives. Some because of where we're born and how we were born and what family we were born and the things, the way we were raised, and you know, we always want to point a finger at those things back there. But now we're here today, we have to stop pointing fingers and to take responsibility for our lives. See, the Lord says, I'm going to do great mighty things through Jose Maria. He says, I'm going to do things that you never thought were possible. No es posible. But with God, con Dios, todo es posible. Hallelujah. God says, I'm going to do things through you in the days to come that will blow the minds of the people. But God already knows that. Hallelujah. So He says there's a preparation, a time of preparation that He's bringing you into. And those old things, under the blood. Forgiven, washed. Hallelujah. So the Lord says, I'm going to use you because you have obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Things that we have done. How if we could just erase them? There is a way to erase them. Blood of Jesus. Whiter than snow. Don't we used to sing that song? Whiter than snow. Just the blood of Jesus makes us whiter than snow. He blots it all out, turns a new page, and He begins to write down the things that bring honor and glory to Him. So what are you saying? What kind of life are you living? What does God want for your life? I'm almost finished. And I know it's been raining and storming, and but what does God really want from our life? 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." This is the kind of life that God wants for us. A prosperous life, a healthy life, a blessed life. Are we living this kind of life? Well, maybe yes, maybe no, but we need help, and the Holy Spirit was sent to help us. We can't do it on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. The help we need comes from the Holy Spirit. A prosperous soul is living by the power of the Holy Spirit. Boy, I got no amens. A prosperous soul is living, I really believe this, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if your soul prospers, God's going to bless you. You're going to do things that just, you find favor with God. Things that you thought were never possible, you could never do. So we want to go to Galatians 5:22-23, because a prosperous soul living by the Holy Spirit, this is what we produce. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. We talked about being overtaken by the enemy and the things that we do when we're serving the devil. But here's the very opposite: when we're serving God and the Holy Spirit leads us, we produce this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace. We can go on and on, but those are the three main things that God releases to us: love, compassion for lost souls. So if you go to verse 25, it says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." But we need to allow the Holy Spirit to retake our life, because you can't do it on your own. You can do all the works, you can do all the prayers, but you need help. And if we allow the Holy Spirit, He will retake, help us retake what is rightfully ours as the children of God. A covenant relationship with the Lord. Back to God's glory. Back to the presence of God. Full of love. Being joyful, not happy, being joyful, which is deep with inside. But peace. When you lay your head on the pillow at night, there's peace. You don't have no anxiety, because you know if you die tonight, you're going to be with the Lord forever. But also know that God has a plan for your life. Amen. How can we help others? This life isn't just about me. Sometimes we make it about me, and it's only me. We sing that song, "Me and Jesus," we have our own thing going. But the me life is full of self, selfish. And when we're that way, it's easy for the enemy to move in and take us back to that old life. Are you hearing me? When we're living for ourselves and we're self-motivated, it opens the door for the enemy to come back into your life and to take you back into sin. So he says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in that Spirit. Hallelujah. See, I quoted this earlier, but God made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 12:2. He said, "I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great." And the last part, "and make you a blessing." Not about Abraham alone. It was about how the word of God would go out from Abraham, how the blessings that God poured in his life would go out to the nations of the world. And this is what God is wanting to do for us. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You won't go back to those old things. You'll begin to produce the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, meekness, temperance. See, God wants us to help others. Pastor's been talking about it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Get filled up here, go out there, and begin to help other people. Get filled up here, get rejuvenated, get full of the Holy Spirit, go out there and help those who don't know God, help them find God. Jesus said it, Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Again in Mark 16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know if that's to go talk to dogs and cats, but no. All of God's creation, it says he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but it also says he who doesn't believe will be damned, condemned. When we believe and are baptized, we have salvation. This is why God is pressing on this church so much to go out and share the gospel. Because we want to retake those lives. See, Satan came in, take one, and took us away from God. Jesus came and gave his life, so we have take two, we come back to God. That's how God spoke to me. I know I'm a little different, quite different. But retaking life for the kingdom of God, togetherness all the time with God. Not just ourselves. Of course, we have to be restored. We have to be renewed to be really effective to touch people's lives. But God wants to retake. I know things have gone through your mind as I was speaking tonight. You're thinking of things in the past. But you've burned those bridges. So the Lord says they don't haunt you anymore. They can't even affect you anymore. Now, he said, I'm building a bridge to the new things. And I just saw in the vision this beautiful bridge and all the decorations on it. The lights that went across the banners. The Lord says, I'm taking you there, across that, to a place I've ordained for you to walk in. There's life on the other side. There's victory over there. That's what the Lord's showing me. There's a new area of victory in your life. The enemy can't take it. God has called you, appointed you. Hallelujah. So respect the new things. Favor of God. Hallelujah. There's a young lady here that comes to join us about once a year. I know that God has a call on your life, Haley. That in the future, that you're going to be a real voice for the kingdom of God. So you remember that when the enemy comes to tempt you and try to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. Know that God has a call on your life. Be a light in a dark place. A light. You know what happens when you turn on the light? Darkness leaves. You're going to be a light, cause darkness to flee. So protect yourself. Watch over your soul, your spirit. Be that light. Hallelujah. Bless your Lord. Hallelujah. Brother Richard's been through the mud, the rain, and the hard times. But God says, I have a great promise for you, son. It doesn't come from money. I have a great promise that I've prepared for you. It's going to bring such a peace in the storms of life that you'll just lay all those other things down. See, the enemy would try to get you all discouraged and upset, but there's a crop that's been planted in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, that's going to bring a great harvest. Hallelujah, just bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. For this couple here, through the fire, the Lord's brought purity. And the Lord is continuing to light that fire. Sometimes the fire burns a little strongly. But you know what? It's worth it all. Because the call of God that you're embracing brings great rewards. The enemy thought he had you taken over. But God has restored you. He's put talents in you, gifts in you. And tonight, I see in the spiritual realm a big door opening. I see that many times, but this is a big door. And when that door opens, there's thousands of people sitting in a stage. I don't know what that means exactly, but God is opening doors where you will be able to minister and worship. Something's been on your heart. See, the devil thought he had you, but he doesn't have you. Because you've stood again and again, and you haven't given up. That's why you're here tonight. God would release his blessings on you and your family and find favor with you in the days to come. Will you agree with that word? Amen. Hallelujah. See, God knows what he's doing. We don't sometimes. This marriage, Lord, you will sanctify it and bless it. Hallelujah. All of the bad things that have happened in the past will be washed away by the blood of Jesus. And the renewed lives come forth in this hour, Lord, to bring a blessing to your kingdom. That's restoration, the Lord says. That's restoration. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Turning our back. Whew. God's doing something when we're sleeping. He never gives up. That song we sang, he never stops. Never stops working. Never stops working. I see that in your life, but also I see it in your brother's life. He's working there. We have that hope. Been praying this other prayer too. Lord says, expect to see an answer. Yeah? Bless him, Lord. Hallelujah. I better stop before I get to meddling, but this couple, you've had fields open up. You've had doors open up that have been closed for many years. And I see the Lord passing his golden key to you. The Lord says, if you use it correctly, this key is going to unlock people's lives in a way that you never thought were possible. The golden key, power of God in your hands. You're going to see people set free that have been bound for years. You're going to see people leaping and praising God who have been crippled. The Lord says, I'm going to work through you because of your faithfulness. So get ready for the good things of God. Hallelujah. Bless him. Pastor Stevens, good to see you. Back from Europe, Germany. Sprechen Sie Deutsch now? Ein bisschen? Hallelujah. Bless you, Pastor. Hallelujah. There's this lady right here that God, you know, you've got so much to give. And it seemed like the enemy had come and tried to put a bushel on that light. But tonight the Lord says, I'm removing it. And there's a new freedom that's going to come into your life. The knowledge, the wisdom that he's put in you is for his little ones, for those who are hungry, those who are hurting. So get ready, because the light of the gospel is going to get brighter and brighter. The days are here, says the Lord, for you to advance mightily into the next season. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless this brother, Lord. I don't have a word for you except that keep fighting in the spirit. Hallelujah. Lord says, you'll break them down as you pray. You'll break down the strongholds of the enemy, because he's called you to be a warrior. I guess that's the word of the Lord. He's called you to be a warrior. Don't lay the sword down. Keep it at all times. But you got to keep that shield there too. Because Bible says that the evil one has got the bow stretched, ready to release the arrows. So you understand that. We have to keep that shield up, because God is going to use you to break down strongholds. There's family members that you've been praying for and you haven't really seen the change that you want. But that change is coming because of the effectiveness of the Word of God. And the sword of the Spirit is God's Word. And you're going to be blessed. You are blessed. You're going to be a blessing. Hallelujah. Touch him and anoint him in this season of his life, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Esther. Well, there's a call. A higher call that God is moving you into. It's a call of authority in the kingdom like you've never seen before. I didn't have a word for you until I walked over here. The Lord says, the Lord says, you will break the back of the enemy. That you will destroy the work of the enemy. And he will not rise again. It's like David and Goliath. The stone knocked him down, but he wasn't dead until he took the sword and cut off the head. Mm-hmm. You're going to use that sword to stop the Goliaths that come against the people of God. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. God's not dead, he's alive. Hallelujah. He's working miracles. Favor with the Lord. Pastor, come.
Amen. Man, I feel the anointing when you did that.